Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the BGCP, the Big Glasgow Comic Page Indie Interview with myself, Dave Crana, and I will be interviewing today Jim the Ganja Man Stewart. Hello, Jim.
What are you doing there?
How have you been, man? You're looking well. You're looking well. How have you been?
What? Thanks, man. I've just been to the hairdresser.
Just a wee trim.
Unfortunately, my two hairdressers died.
Oh. I took a new one. Well, listen, new is always good. You know, something a little bit different, somewhere you've never been before. You know, checking new stuff out. That's always good in my opinion.
We're over at Deadhead Comics, which sounds pretty good.
In Edinburgh.
Don't tell anybody.
Your secret is safe with me, unless this podcast gets like 1,000 views. In which case, there's not much I can do about it. I managed to get into Glasgow for the first time yesterday, since 2019. It was great.
What did you try to get in?
I'm trying to get in. It was awesome, man. I went to Chris at City Centre Comics. I went to the new Forbidden Planet. And I went to the old Forbidden Planet. Man, the discounts you can get in there right now are phenomenal.
Did you miss your Geek Retreat?
No, I didn't do Geek Retreat. I was planning on getting to A1.
What did you see?
I didn't get in. Do you recommend it?
There was a time I recommended it. But I guess you used to it just before the pandemic. But it's like... First appearance,
darts team were about £1. Did you say your darts team were in there for £1? What were you saying, sorry?
Darts seat, the first
appearance. Oh, aye.
Superman, Jimmy, what's he said? I'm not more a Marvel fan, but it's got a few bucks.
That's fantastic. They obviously didn't realise what they had.
I told somebody
at the Scottish Captains Society,
and next day they
were
there buying it, and I was like,
what did you buy?
Well, did you not snap it up when you seen it? Well, the guys just kept putting their stuff out. And I was like, then you put their stuff out, and he's like, maybe like, I'll put it, watch my Facebook page, and I was like, yeah. And they're showing the stuff they were putting out, and I mean, you could see it was good stuff. Anybody went to, oh man, that's worth a lot more.
Absolute bargain. Right, we're here today to talk about your comic, which I picked up a copy just last week, Ganja Man Presents Number 1. The name is in the title.
Yeah.
This is an awesome comic, so it's an anthology. You can get it from your Etsy shop, which is Numskull, is that right?
Numskull Comics.
Right. So if you search Etsy, Numskull Comics, you'll come across Jim Ganja Man Stewart. You'll know it's him because there's ganja leaves all over the bloody page.
Ganja leaves.
Jim, I couldn't believe this when I got it. You know, I've met you a couple of days before, and you're obviously well in with the independent and underground comic scene, and have been since the mid-90s by the sounds of it. Am I right in saying that?
Before the internet, the way to get in contact with people was through Comic International. It was Dead Skin. And there's a classified ad that people put in. I'm looking for a writer, or somebody's been looking for an artist, and that's how everybody communicated back then. It was
easy
to see different places. And
by post?
Yeah, looking for artists, what?
By post, basically.
That was the only way you could do it. I go to conventions.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I go to conventions too. In the early 90s, I had conventions in Glasgow, so cafes. And people like that.
Hold on, you were at a convention with Garth Ennis?
Garth Ennis before the book preacher.
Aye, I know who Garth Ennis is, he's a legend.
He's like part of Crisis, then. Which is a magazine that came out after 2000 AD, the UK, showing all the UK talent, and Gareth Ennis was promoting that, you know what I mean?
That's amazing.
That's how I shouldn't think, man.
What's he like?
I don't know how he was, but...
You didn't know who he was? Well, the thing is, at that point in time, he probably wasn't anyone.
As I said, I read the couple of issues of Crisis, True Faith, and yes, I've read that, for a few troubles.
I've not, no.
John McKay, you need to look it up, man. It's brilliant.
I'll need to check it out.
It's the first ever painted that book I've seen.
Right.
And comics, it was like, man, this is brilliant. I've never seen this kind of stuff, but painted. You know, eventually we're going to meet John McCrae, the guy who drew it, you know what I mean? You know, really nice guy, John McGarth. His time was going to, obviously, be a lot better work. And Garth started doing Preacher, you know what I mean? Just,
Preacher is like a phenomenal series, it's absolutely brilliant. Actually, it was Chris from a set of comics that put me on the Preacher. Not long time ago now, maybe, but I'm going to say 10 years ago. It could easily have been 10 years ago, actually. So that would have been making me 29.
I let my daughter read it as well. She liked it.
Aye, nice.
And then the show is it now.
The show was okay. It was not as good as the comic, obviously. The second season was really dragging.
It's the same with the Walking Dead in it. They don't follow the comic. They change things up a bit. But usually, it's going to the same kind of ending. They changed the Watchmen ending, didn't they?
Ah, they did change the Watchmen ending, actually.
They're going to put something in different for maybe the people of book comics.
Aye, exactly. It's for a far broader audience, TV and film, than comics are. You know, what I find with comics is it's very much a niche. You know, there's a small amount of people that are going to read independent and underground comics.
There's mostly adults. You know what I mean?
But the people that do read them are fucking awesome.
It's like I don't really care if I do issues. So I'm going to my comics. I go to conventions.
It's okay. What I'm going to say to all you underrated right now is if you go on Numbskull, Numbskull Comics, Jim doesn't know what age you are. And all these kids, Hitler, all these kids know what they're doing, man. They know how to get stuff off of Etsy. That's where they spend their days.
I don't know if you've seen it on my Instagram, but I put up one time at the comics and the shops, and I think it must have been A1, and I must have sold it to a minor. I sold it to somebody, and then I was in the paper the next few days. I've
seen that.
Bastards. I never thought we sold them to the vents.
Man, you know, press is.
The shop was like me to take half the 18 and the adults. Not done that, so I can keep that on it. It's only defence if I ever get took up court.
Aye, it's got to be done, man. It's
adults only, 18. So if somebody sold it to somebody else, and you know, say my heart.
None to do with you.
So aye. If I stick with them in a show, so I can do that. If I use schemes in that, I mean, it's fault.
Right, none to do with you. That's exactly the same. I've made sure I put for a mature audience on the front of my book as well, because it's not for kids.
If somebody steals against my film, it's still sorry for me, you know what I mean? If it's on a show.
Yeah, if someone steals it, you think, respect to that child. Quite right, pal.
But anybody I need to come to an hour, I said to them, keep doing it with your kids.
Right. Of course. It's called Ganja Man, so it's, you know, it's adult content. But it's very much, I would say it's very much like a kind of a biz kind of idea. That's maybe a bad example, but it's the only example that I can kind of draw from.
Yeah.
It's a bit disgusting and rude. That's not really what that is. Aye, if you
were
to...
It's
more comedy.
Zap.
Right.
Zap.
I remember Zap on the shelves. I never picked one up. I never picked up a Biz, to be honest, either, actually.
That's
the
American thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's got Robert Crumb in it, and it comes out maybe twice every 3 years, or sometimes it goes out 4 years later. Look it up, I mean, you get a chance. But it's more like that. And it's cutting it by the coat shit.
I mean, it's not a rude comic. There's nothing rude about this. There's obviously a heavy presence of cannabis, and there's, you know, I mean, the Ganja Man, the Astounding Ganja Man himself, he's awesome.
Alex Harvey said, there's no such thing as a dirty book, it's just the way you read it.
It's like, there's no such thing as bad press. But just wait, so this is Ganja Man Presents number one. Now, this was reprinted, I should say, in 2017. Is that right? Aye.
2008, I printed the first one.
So 2008, you printed the
first
one. 2000 copies. Wow. Gone. And I got
issue 4
out, and I was like,
I can't go to conventions, and
you
had issue 1, I
need
to get a
reprint of that. Hmm. Reprint at the
same time
as
issue 4.
Wow, 2000 copies, man. That's insane. That's excellent.
Yeah. Advertising is a great thing, and you can get a job to take a comic, you know, try to get an advert on this, you get $200 for a full page colour, $250 for a half page, and you give a cup of comics to them as well, whether you enter tattoo show, comic show. Chokes some SL plays, must have been, you know, but that's your, must have been. No. Anything like that, you head choked. And then they would give you a number and then contact you and say, oh, I want an advert in the comic. Sometimes the print bill will bank the 2008, print is a bit cheaper as well. So if you've got like four full page adverts, that's £2,000. Pays for your comic and everything.
Fucking right, man. That's
so dog out every once, then sometimes you're in, it's, if you were in action there, you've earned credit. You've already made money. You're just getting the printed.
That's amazing. I don't know if it would work this time around. I have seen actually people putting out requests saying, well, listen, I've got a comic coming up. Does anyone want to put an advert in there? I actually put one in somewhere. The guy was offering it for free. Now that I remember, I don't know if that went on or not. I should have got that book just to find it. I completely forgot about it.
That happens. Well, the electric ship was kind of the same, but kind of survived on adverts because they're going to pay an artist. You know what I mean?
Electric ship. That's with Frank Whiteley.
Frank Whiteley, Dave Alexander, Thomas Somerville.
Did you work on that book?
No.
Right.
I was doing everything back then. I was getting decorated or something.
You should make a real life for yourself.
I was kind of art. But when I like it came out, I only seen one issue, and that was a Frank Whiteley one with the Cape Fury. Did you ever see that?
I've checked them out actually on eBay to see if I can get a couple. Yeah, I've not purchased any yet, right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's it in Paris region. It's real, man. This is a game of greens. And it's like, yeah, the bears are fucking dangleberries, isn't it? Things like that, or snow. I was like, man, this is fucking crazy. I was like, this is. And, yeah. I met Dave Alexander, and I mean, the guy who did the Meat Band Brothers, and just like the Sweet Brothers, but
mm-hmm.
In Paris region.
Brilliant. It's fucking wrong. So when was that? That was back what, early 2000s?
I seen that the first time I went to suit.
'89.
I haven't seen the suit come up with 93 or something.
Wow, man, 93. So that's.
I seen one on the bus. I did the comic with Dave Alexander. He's just insane, all the issues that kind of damaged. You just take them, they leave them on the bus, you know, and then somebody gets introduced to a comic, and it's like,
and then they go, great idea.
And the comics, and that's the first glance screen, you know, that's the way you have to know, it's like, so much stuff in that, I was like, I need to try and get the rest of these.
That's a great idea, I love that, that's awesome.
I did a review on Hunt, so that's a great idea. And we did the same thing with Northern Lights. People, and sometimes I'd cut cover off and put it behind a bus station. Yeah, well, you need to maybe fit things in. And I would do that, get it by the bus stops. It's cheap on stickers. But, yeah. And even like the comics were falling apart because you'd always get comics that return to you. Back then, in 1999, I mean, like, I know a lot of people were willing to the money up front for a comic. You'd have to, like, put it in the show, if it any.
Sale and return kind of thing.
Yeah, that's sale and return. And it was like, sometimes even the dragon would be, somebody else just took over, and it was the lowest. So, you kind of still doing that, you know, nah, if you want them, then you need to buy up front, you know what I mean? But we did the same thing to some people, we trusted.
Sale, I mean, listen, I don't think there's too much money doing it even now, to be honest, you know. We don't do it for the money, man, we do it for the fun, don't we?
I said to people that have started to get into this method, so you're going to have to make money, because that's what it's all about. So, if you want somebody to see your comic, then you send it few copies, that's money. Postage, I mean, that money's coming in your pocket.
Aye, definitely.
Yeah. It's easier to swallow than it, you can jump in a way that's won't really cost me anything. As I said back then, you could probably get a comic in 1999, it would probably cost like 50p for a copy. If you got 5,000 of them, that's how many you go to Dolphin Lights.
Wow.
Yeah, you could afford to be somewhere here if you wanted to.
Northern Lights, is that on your Etsy page?
There's no any medicine. It was a comic we did with the electric suit.
Right.
It was cancelled. Dave Alexander, that's when I met Dave Alexander. And I gave him a Gangerman comic, the first Gangerman comic.
I think I've met Dave Alexander.
I think I met him at Scottish Cartoons.
Yes.
And there was a blank page in the back of it with the Gangerman comic, a wee black and white one. And he went, oh, never ever leave a blank page. It was a big time you asked me, and eventually chose one. They still call me here, but they don't. We asked for people to put money in the place, and it would be, you can get that here. But if you're going to put a page in, it'll cost you £5 for a page. So if it's a 2-page in it, it's going to cost you £50 or 3 pages. And then, we've got some people that did do that, but most of the time, you know, go to adverts on it. And eventually we could afford to pay artists some money, or an advert for their comic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you looked at the advert, it's going to cost maybe, if it's a half a page, it's £250, and you give this person an advert to put some pages in. That's how you can pay your
arts
as well,
right? Really cool. It's a, you know what, it's a good way to go about it. I'm not too sure if it would work now. It might actually, to be honest, I'm not too sure. Kickstarter seems to be the way. Kickstarter seems to be the way it was going just now. I mean, that, from my experience, which is incredibly little, Kickstarter seems to be, if you're looking for independent and underground comic books, man, Kickstarter seems to be the way to go.
You've got to factor in how much it's going to cost you to post all these as well.
Expensive stuff. What I found about making comic books is the only person who makes money, the only person who doesn't make any money is the writer. The artist makes money, the letterer makes money, the postman makes money, the printer makes money, the writer makes fuck off.
You know what
then?
That Morrison can draw. He's a pretty good draw. I've seen some of his star blazers back in the day. And he made a lot more money writing like a draw, so. I've seen Matt Miller draw him as well. He can draw it vaguely.
Right.
He made more money writing, so. Yeah, type of the pages, you know what I mean? So.
Clearly they're doing something that I'm not.
Fair enough.
Looking at this, right, so this is obviously the Ganja Man number one presents, the Ganja Man presents number one. There's hundreds of stories in this, and there's so many that caught my eye. There's
some of the strips that was in the first one.
You forgot some of them?
Well, the first issue, I was stoned and I printed the two of the pages the same together, and I fixed that in the reprint, but I do some artwork.
Hey.
I put it on my computer and it died on me, and all the art died on it. I had lots of artwork on it, man. I'd already coloured off the comic and then lost the whole thing.
Ooh.
And I had to start to scratch again. And I was like, this first game, everything's against me here.
Nightmare.
I did it. I fucking done it. There's a beans, man. He's pissing me out. He did the same thing with Yuri comic, so the book. There's a beard and he bought it. And then you can work on the next one.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the next. That's what we have to do, you know that. Northern Lights, Northern Lights, Hope State Stable, started to become, Hope Street became, you know, Hope Street.
Hope Street? As in Glasgow, aye?
Aye. Well, that's where we were doing Northern Lights, man. And then, because the attention was there, and ends up taking the table. So DC work started coming to the studio and it was just like, it's all these big flats and things. And also Jimmy Grant back in the underground stuff really, you know what I mean? He was concentrating on getting that big Pine job. It was everybody's dream, I suppose, to work for DC, you know?
Of course, man. Everyone's dream is to work for DC, Marvel, you know. Yeah. I mean, just probably 2000 AD, actually. I'm kind of, I'd love to work for 2000 AD. I think that'd be fucking awesome.
But then, at that time, I know, that was 2003, I just started working for Source Secrets, which is a magazine in the Netherlands.
Right.
And then I started playing me. But, in the studio, there was only one computer that had Photoshop in it. So, everything we were selling, any cartoons we were selling to other people, had to be coloured by Jamie Grant, because he was the only one that had
the software.
Software. So he was the representative of it. And I was like, eventually, I've talked to us in another interview, Era Doping, I decided, well, this isn't for me. I'm not going to trust somebody who would rip me off. And I'm going to work more business wise if that's made treat me for that. And so I left hosting studios and I bought my computer because I ended up selling my shares in other ways. Because the comic book put money into it, so it became worth money to the company, you know what I mean?
Right.
Eventually Alan Grant came along, he put some cash, paid us people your shares out of it. It was mainly meat first, and then the budget was and I'm going, he's like, oh, I want the money, I know. It's a grant, and so take the money. And Hope Street was because you couldn't walk up the stairs because it was up to a flat, and then he moved it to, he was in his 60s, so he was just like, oh, can't even be up here. And then Dave Alexander decided to sell his share, and I used the money that I had made to the comic just to buy a computer. It was a second hand one, but how hard's it going to be to set this up myself, you know what I mean? And I was like, I need to get a copy of the Adobe Photoshop. And obviously Jamie wasn't going to be there. And somebody else went, hi, there you go. I said, do you want money for it? He said, no, just have it. He's actually nice. What's now.
Ah, of course, eh?
And that must be him, Jerry Littman. Like, making sure there's a fruit suit in there and money, or dope, or whatever. So I started getting the full money for the strip suit. So it was not, maybe the strip was taking the, you know, like, you rate it, and then you have to draw it, didn't it? I mean, then I make it. So that would maybe take about 3 days. But you could rate ahead if you wanted to do that. I mean, just be money strips are. At that time I was getting five at a time, so it was like kind of ridiculous. The deadlines were, they started like, the deadlines really came in, because it was like, eventually I had to be getting translated. French and then Italian and Spanish and then Dutch and then Russian.
So you were doing this, so Northern Lights was a comic that you were doing, and it was selling all around Europe, and then you decided to leave that, because they were like, well, somebody was taking a sheet of cut, basically, that you didn't think was deserved.
And somebody wanted to pay those money for the comic, and that's when, okay, that's when that would solve a lot of things. I could use the money to get my computer, and that's fucking full time, and family, like you say. Two brass pennies to go together. I was just like, I went, well, I'll buy a new computer and then I did a column myself. And I started getting the money for the stuff myself and all that, wasn't it?
Nice.
I think you did this picture. Had to be the money come off for the student, which had to pay the student.
Right.
I was like, because I left the student, I was like, well, I'm going to take my money out of this. I'm going to diminish it now. And when I started getting the translation from them, I was getting 50 quid or something for the strip, and then I was getting translation fee and tack of that, and that was getting translated 8 times in 8 different languages, so it just kept, money just kept coming in, and it was like,
brilliant.
And yeah, sometimes you'd never even have time to write any new stuff, it's like 5 strips, and then it was getting translated, you had to take the English out and then put,
So you sent off the script to the translator. They then sent you back the translated scripts. Then you then had to go back in.
I had to cut out any slang, you know.
Right, so you will have had to actually go into your own script, edit it, so the folk can read it in English, and then go back. They go back and put it back into the actual comic itself.
To do like invoices
for us and all
that stuff. A lot of nonsense, isn't it? That time, well, I did when I went self-employed, I mean, I had to fill out all these out, just like, oh, man, this is taking my brains now. And eventually I had to say to the guys, look, I can't do this anymore, I'm not getting any time to read new stuff now. And I went, well, I said, alright, if you get somebody else to translate it, and I was like, as long as you pay me. That was
it. Fair play.
I was getting that, and I was working full time, so I was getting good money. And then Wasted came out. You've heard of that comic, Wasted?
I don't think so. It does ring a bell, but I've definitely not picked one up.
Have you ever looked at it? I don't know if it's much online about it, but
I'll need to check it out.
So Northern Lights and then done it Wasted. It was going to be like we're cutting down all the dope stuff. No, I mean, like, it was going to be jokes about coke, crack and all that. One of the things I always refused to do was have any like, advertised Granny Fanny. Granny Fanny, and all these adverts that were coming in. I never want any of them. My comics, because I like to show my money. Money was good, but
And Granny Fanny's is just that step too far. So that's it. That's where you draw the line. Granny Fanny's not. just looking at this, the Ganja Man presents, right? The amount of people you've got on this in this book is insane. You know, you've got, we're talking about, you know, how many storylines? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 20 storylines here. All with different artists and writers and letterers. I mean, just to name a few, right? So, Dave Alexander is there. Obviously, Dave Alexander is a few times, actually. John McShane, Bob Byrne. Who was that? The
Bob Byrne was an Irish cartoonist, and he's moved to Spain. Sometimes he sent me pictures because it's legal in it, you know. Showing me pictures of his veranda.
When he was growing weed? He was growing weed on his veranda?
Aye, it's legal to grow weed. And he sent me pictures and I'm like, that's it.
It's legal to grow weed in Ireland? Is it? Fucking lucky bastard. There's more and more places now that it is legal to grow weed. And, you know, I like a bit of ganja. I mean, you know that yourself. I've got nothing wrong with it at all. Don't get me wrong, I think too much, for me anyway, too much sends me a bit loopy. Too much beer sends me a bit fucking lippy, you know, so I need to know when to tone it down.
I like it on green, and I think that most of the people that write about it are like,
I don't know, tones. Aye. Honestly, can I tell you something? See the more people...
Jim Starlin? I'm surprised when I see that name.
The majority of people I meet that I like are all talkers. So Dave Alexander, he released an actual novel recently, didn't he?
Randy Burns, I think.
Was there another one? Two Faces? Alexander. Two Faces or something?
Jim Alexander.
Hmm?
You're thinking of Jim Alexander, aren't you?
Am I thinking of Jim Alexander? Maybe I'm thinking of Jim Alexander, actually.
Jim Alexander is a writer.
Right. I mean, these guys' names, as far as I'm concerned, pop up.
Would have been
I mean, the names in this comic, right? They pop up all the time when I read, you know, articles on independent comics. Sorry, who's that?
Declan Shelby.
Ah, Declan Shelby, so he's done...
He's worked for Marvel now.
Right. What's he doing in Marvel?
Moon Knight.
Wow, man. So Moon Knight's just about to get a TV show or a movie. I'm not sure if it's a movie or a TV show.
No. He's taken my flat years ago. He's doing Frankenstein. So he's putting it in that thing.
That's amazing. Oh, aye. You're talking about Edinburgh?
No, it's mine. I don't just give one place to the
man. Did they?
Aye. You need to see if it was. You took a man, I said, watch this.
Aye.
The light's coming in. It's sort of emotional. It's like it's the engine.
So he was working in there?
No, he was writing a book for classical comics, or drawing it. Frankenstein.
Right.
Like classical comics deal with his one of my mates, John Hayward, he was doing Hamlet and all that kind of stuff for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly,
some of the people in this book are just to have worked with these people, I think, is just absolutely amazing. And you know, to all you, if anyone is listening to this, I hope some of you are, go and check out this The Ganja Man Presents. Check him out on Etsy. It's just the stuff, the content in here is fantastic. It's mature, it's for adults, but it's hysterically funny. The general vibe behind it is just that's what I really like about it. It's the vibe, and it's that, you know, independence. This is what, 1993, I think, is what you mentioned to me. So it's 1993. So some of you guys weren't even born. Jim here is dishing out golden content to the world, and you guys are just figments of your mom and dad's imagination. So I recommend you go in there and check it all out. Now hold on, there was a few other wee questions. Hi. Why did you get any comics? Why? What was the big thing that got you started? What age were you when you started reading comics? What was your first comic that you read, or you know, first one you can remember? And then why did you decide to start to write your own? And what was it? Where did the inspiration for Ganja Man Presents come from?
Tintin and
Asterix and Obelix. I keep forgetting to mention about that, but yeah, I love them.
Alright, so I think the way I put books together, I mean, comic pages are always sent to me, Tintin and Asterix, deep in my psyche, but when I was in the primary school, a teacher that had American comics, so just colour bands. I don't know the bands, whatever, but she needed to draw a few of these comics, and if she finished her work, then she would let you read the comic. Some of them were like, most of the Marvel ones that were there, it was Iron Fist, or my first John Bum, you know what I mean?
Right.
And there was one called Weird Wonder Tales, which had Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, and a cover by Gil Kane. That's always been one that's always. I was nodding to that, picking that up in the meaning.
That was the one that changed you, flipped you around, and thought.
I didn't know it was my first Jack Kirby comic, I mean. I never understood why, because it was Jack Kirby and this. What do you call them, the Marvel reprint, kind of, the UK reprint.
Okay.
So I was recognising Gil Kane, I mean, I don't know, I see my work. Gil Kane's work with John Buscema as well, and I was starting to see these artists now, but it's a brilliant man. I was obsessed with comics, but I've never seen any more American comics. For ages, it's just all British. Once I started seeing them, you can know that I can get in the colour lines. And then eventually a comic show opened up, and I've seen some American ones. I'm like, oh, yes, I've done that. I've sold the collected comics like 3 times in my life, and I sold them all off. I mean, when I get married, I sold them all off, and then I started collecting them again. And then eventually, I seen my first Superhero comic, and it was like, oh man, this is, yeah, I was always into John Byrne, that kind of stuff, you know what I mean, but when I seen the Superhero, I was just like, man, this is, I've blown away a plus, I was smoking meat, banana, and so I started giggling at it, and I was like, man, comics have grown up, you know what I mean, that's what I was like, comics have grown up, and I kind of read the Spider-Man lines, and
nice.
Just kind of, into it. Nostalgia is big enough.
Right. It sounds very familiar to myself, to be honest. That's kind of the way I started as well, and it must be the kind of natural progress of people.
The way you draw it, I mean, if you're going to draw, you're going to draw shoes, like, you're going to draw like clunky, or you're going to draw cartoony, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what way am I going to go here? Because, I'm going to try and draw the John Bond, which is hard, I mean. Yeah. But I'm going to try and just tone it down to cartoony, which is nice and plushy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I've been a lot of detail on a car, so it just tells the story anyway.
I mean, so, for as cartoony as it is, there is still a lot of detail in this. You know what I mean?
I can't be early stuff on that.
Right.
You get more detailed as you go, isn't it?
I mean,
it's a lot of reference. Like, for instance, you've got to learn anatomy, which is that when you start mastering on you, and your brain, you're in anatomy. I mean, everything you picked up in comics and in the 90s. I was saying, well, this is the character that I've got here before. I've got a few to it.
He's awesome. Who is he?
Character I was going to do before. Benjamin.
All right.
But I read too many Image comics and my characters were starting to go all bulky. I was picking my games and it was like falling into that trap of you know, Simon Bisley type of being every vein and all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to try and go with that because you can spend ages on a figure, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you could just do it in the same place really.
One of the things I like about your constant imagery of Ganja Man, he's quite short.
Aye. first comic I picked was two page stories, and then I ended up cutting them to three panels. That's what happened with the Fat Slides. Fat Slides used to be 2 pages or 3 pages.
See this one? Hold on. Aye, bye, Jim. This one was one of my favourite, the Z-Men. This is brilliant. That's hysterical. I mean, you get, obviously it's a parody, you know, of the X-Men. There's Wolverine in there, who is, I can't remember his name now. You get Cyclops, who looks like a Cyclops. Hot Knife. Wolverine is called Hot Knife. Brilliant. You also, way back at the start as well, you had another one. Obviously, you're influenced by the X-Men, which I love because I'm a big X-Men fan. I can't wait for the MCU to do them correctly. Wait till they start now. It's not the Silver Surfer. It's the Spliffer Surfer. Who is it? Spliffer Surfer.
The Silver Spliffer.
Silver Spliffer, that's it. Hysterical. I mean, look, the guy's puffing again. Buffing a joint. Absolutely right. And then the bottom here. Yeah. You get Galactahash.
That's another one. It's going to be done in Northern Lights.
Right.
When I left Northern Lights, I was talking about this Alan Grant story. It was Alan Grant who wrote it.
Aye. You're obviously the artist in it, Alan Grant.
Alan Grant stuff. He was I met Alan the way back in maybe 6. I'd read some of 2000 AD stuff, but it wasn't a big fan, you know. I'd read him, I read the Mid-Season Naughty, Neil Dan.
Nah.
And Naughty. There was like some good characters. The Talent Terrors, that was in Scorpion Dog. There was a Talent Terrors and like all these different characters, but Mid-Season Naughty was one of them. And so. Passed on to Alan, he's next table to me at a map, and I was saying Benjamin and some back issues in Marvel DC. And Alan had a poster magazine, it's called Shit the Dog. And Schwab. And he says, how does the comic spell? This was issue 1, I mean. And I think issue 2. And I was like, I'll try to get money off people that have been in shows and that, pay my ass. And I was like, I think they're chucking them. And I was like, we're going to do the act on that one, as I said. And I get a letter for Alan, my name's in the comic. I get a letter for Alan 2 days later, and he's like, don't fucking chuck it, man. Keep it going, man.
Quite right.
It's the best thing I've read since the Three Brothers, and I've already picked up the Three Brother.
Vibe.
That's great, man. Just picked that up. And I was only going to kill Candyman half as a superhero. I was going to, because Gru, remember Gru, the warrior? We didn't try to bend Gru. He was really big back in the 90s. And it was like Man and Chain Candyman, and he's like a sword. Like Conan kind of thing.
Right.
Lord of the Rings kind of set that kind of thing. And that's what I've done in that issue 3. Then I had to try and bring Gantman back as a superhero so that I could keep him
relevant.
as I said, the usual as well, but I can still continue with their stories and about it. So I can continue, because there's no just one gang, man. There's a fucking trade in them. But they're on a different dimension.
You have just opened up a whole Ganja Man universe to me there, Jim. I did not know that. That's it.
Not warriors. They're characters. And the way I wrote the story is just Bruce Lee. He's like, just a Bruce Lee, that way. He's taught Kung Fu and all that. And then there's like four cowboys that are dressed up like Clint Eastwood.
Nice. Nice. I'm going to have to check out. That's you basically got an order from me every month once my wages come in. Chances are Numbskull will be getting. Well, I'm going to work my way through your Etsy page anyway, there's no doubt about it, because like I say, it's a dead easy read. It's, you know, it's nice, it's light hearted, it's for adults obviously. Do you know what, I can't do this justice with the amount of people that's on this. I don't have the knowledge to back up what you're telling me, unfortunately. But I just know that these names pop out to me all the time. And so it was just that's part of the reason why I wanted to get you on the show, because I think your history is so rich when it comes to the independent and underground comics that, you know, you just have to be, you have to be known. People need to know who you are, Jim. You need to go on your page and start buying some of your stuff, man.
On the cover, there's the second stamp down, that's what you want.
Dr. Red Barton.
No, Amsterdam Weekend, second Monday.
Oh, sorry, yes. Him and hers, Amsterdam Weekend.
Sorry, I'm sorry. This guy got in touch with me. And from there, they got in touch with me. But he wrote this book, and he's died in the jail for smuggling. And they tried to put that, 2 months ago, the big book printed to try to get it into the jail, and refused to hit him with it. So there was a big riot, that was a big riot about it, you know what I mean? Saying that people are in the jail for like all sorts of things, you know what I mean? And they're not allowed to have a
comic,
you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, come on. I did print that. I
mean,
I'll put something at least 2 pages in my book, you know what I mean?
Nice, fair play
to you.
It's just
what his life, smuggling dog.
Awesome. Is that in this book?
It's two pages.
I need to double check that.
I'm wasted an hour, that's too bad.
I'll have a look again. I loved it. Don't get me wrong, I had a wee doobie while reading it as well. I felt like I kind of had to, you know. I'm like, hey, Ganja Man comic. I think I'll smoke one. So some of it might have went, you know, hazily over my head. So I'm going to go back and read it. But that's the thing. That's another thing. Is like,
because I was thinking a couple of days after I had to get up, and I was sitting watching one time I was just like, I can't go with it. And then I was sitting watching something called High Times.
I remember High Times.
It's about the people going to meet. And I was like, man, this is like my life. And then what did I see on the table? Just coming up on again. I'm not on lights for it.
What?
Inspired by the quality, you know what I mean? Thursday night, I flat with Jim. There's characters kind of like that,
man. That's amazing, man. That kind of stuff, I think, is just. That's what I was going to say. So, like, you know, this, like I say, I was a little bit hazy when I read it originally. But this is like a book I'll pick up again and skim through and read a wee story here and there. It's got longevity, which I think is really good. And the stories are, although they were first printed in 2008, they're still relevant today. You know, there's nothing dated in this book at all, I don't think. I actually think it's quite modern, to be honest, which is really quite surprising, since it was written a good few years ago now.
Yeah, it was a great place to, if you put dust to draw, you need to get it out, something in your brain that says, like, I need to draw that.
Mm.
And there's not many dope magazines out there,
so. I reckon you could.
I need to do this myself.
It's the woke generation, isn't it, man? That's the problem. I reckon people like yourself are breaking boundaries as you continue to do it. Right?
People do this about printing stuff. You need to do it yourself.
And that's one of the reasons, again, why I love the independent comic scene, is because people can do what they want and there's no one telling them not to do it. So, you know, that is... There's no big head honcho up there saying, can you put that in there?
If you do something, if you work for Marvel DC, and you might try and get something in. There's no longer something happened to some X-Men comic, somebody put some IQ thing in it.
That's right. I've seen that. I mean, that's way back.
You don't do that kind of thing anyway, but if you're thinking of stuff, it's hard to cancel, you know what I mean? Unless there's something really, you bring something really mad,
I mean, there's certain things that I'm like, yeah, I would not write that, and I would not like that. I don't want to be known as that guy, but Ganja's not one of them.
Yeah, you've got to draw a line with how far you can do that. If you look at some of the dark work, sort of the writing, you can't finish, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I've taught pretty much some of it. Sometimes it's arse jokes, you know.
Some of Garth Ennis stuff is just like, whoa, what's going on here? And I think it's brilliant. I think that's totally about breaking the boundaries and doing stuff. I love it.
If they see it well and they publish it, then that's good. If you can look at that way, he's always had the publishers. Most of them have been the publisher, though. They can't tell anything else you've done before Crisis, right? When I bumped into your stuff and I was just like, this is crazy. If you trouble more than that, it's just like, so guys, I mean, instead of going about diarrhea and all that sort of thing, people would stay away from diarrhea. If you trouble more.
Right, we are getting to kind of our end of our time here. So before we sign off, right, I'll tell everybody where we can find you. Do you have one piece of advice for any budding independent comic book writer, artist, publisher, anything at all? What's your one piece of advice that you would tell them to inspire them?
Get your fucking finger out. Do it.
Yes. I like it.
Just do it. You're sitting in the house, and there's one day, in fact, I was going to go to work, and I was like, ah, that's stone, so I was like, ah, okay, am I going to go? And I went, ah, fuck, I'll go. And went in the bus stop, and there was a wee envelope with £180 in it. I was like, no. So you make your own luck, man. I mean, if you just commit, and even if I remember when they seen you for the next time,
When I met you first, I had no idea what I was doing. I had an idea of what I wanted to do. I had no idea how I was going to get there.
I just
joined this this comic society. I was just texting Ellie, and I was like, Ellie, can I come along? She's like, of course, all welcome. Came along and you guys totally introduced me to everything. You totally blew my mind. You just opened up a whole world of independent stuff to me.
And I started going to that scam thing, I told you about my mind was like, I already did the comic, man. I already read the comics and to be in a basement with like 100 artists and writers, it was fucking hell, man. Because we're all just shooting on that level. And that's an inspiration, you know what I mean? That doesn't inspire you.
Well,
check your post, you know what I mean? Because the men you hang about with people like that and all that, I mean,
aye.
I was getting contact, I was going to conventions and that this thing that was happening every month was something from forward to. I was like, oh, this is, I was meeting with newspaper cartoonists. Comic cartoons and papers, everything that I mean, it's not just a diabetes and everything that I mean, it's a different walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we were trying to do for young ones as well, I mean. Because when that finished, the scan finished, it was like a big hole.
Right, there definitely needs to be something to fill that void, you know. And I think doing what we're doing just now, we're going to be chatting, putting it out there into the internet stratosphere, whatever we call it, I think is a good thing, because I think all the young ones, even guys, you know, in their 20s, whatever, man, they need to know that the scene is there, and you just have to jump in and join it, man, and it's huge.
Coronavirus, I'll get back to
Even with coronavirus, you know, I mean, we're doing this over Zoom, you know what I mean? Like, I've met hundreds of people through video calls over the past year. It's been great.
Well, I'll pass your name on to Dave Alexander if you might talk to him.
Aye, definitely, of course.
Aye. Yeah.
I'll need to scout a few of his books. But I know, definitely, I'm up for talking to everyone and anyone. Right. On you go, sorry.
Once you've uploaded this, since you've had it, this is your first time, that room.
Jim is popping my cherry, folks, as you speak.
I love it when some lasses come up to me from dance, and say, they broke their comic cherry. And I was like,
oh, yeah. You sexy big bastard, Jim. Right, Jim, we have talked too long. I can sit and talk to you all night long, and hopefully one day we'll get back to a pub and we'll be able to sit and talk mince all night long. However, the attention span of the average person out there at the moment is about half an hour to 45 minutes. We are way over that, so we'll probably, a few folk are probably tuned out just now, but that's just the way it is. So, mate, away, thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it, and like I say, your backstory and your history within it is so vibrant and awesome that people need to know who you are. Where can we find you if we are looking for you? Where is your social media? Where's best to get you?
Jim and Stuart on
Instagram.
Official Gandhi Man Facebook page. Which
right.
On Facebook. So,
I'll need to get that.
There's a Gandhi Man Presents on Facebook, and there's a Numbskull on Facebook, but I don't really keep up with that because there's too many.
And snakes. Your Instagram page seems to be the one to go to. I would recommend everyone goes to your Instagram page.
You can post fairly saucy pictures, but just get.
And am I right in saying in your bio is the link to your Etsy Numbskull page?
There's a...
Right. So to find Jim, folks, it's Jim Ganjaman Stewart. Stewart is E-W-A-R-T. Check that out on Instagram. His page for his Etsy page, sorry, is in his bio. Trust me, these kids can do this themselves, man. They're not like you and me, man. Trust me, they know what's going on. That's definitely. You can just walk into a shop though and just take it off. Walk up to the counter. Well, we know it, seeing it's from my dad. I remember buying my papa fags that way.
Don't you want me saying these things? That's my fucking show.
Right, we're going to have to call it there, Jim. Right, so folks, if you liked the interview, please like and subscribe. You can follow us on the BGCP Facebook page. What's that?
Fish.
I've been running this through my head for days now. You can find us on the BGCP Facebook page. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter as well. Like a wee comment, let us know, share it if you could as well. That'd be awesome. And go and check out Jim Stewart, Jim Ganjaman Stewart on Instagram. All right, folks.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much indeed. I'll speak to you soon.
Yourself. Deadhead.
I will give up to Deadhead. Right, folks, I will speak to you all later. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Disassembled. You can find more news and reviews on BigGlasgowComicPage.com. And don't forget, you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube as BGCP Comic Con. Make sure you also subscribe on the podcast provider of choice for new episodes every week.